welcome to the Malloy program for Monday evening. Thanks for tuning in. This hour is being sponsored by Charles from Greensboro, North Carolina. He writes, Mike, I want to send a shout out to the 9/11 truthers, especially to Richard Gage, founder of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. I say to them, in the words of NC State University's legendary coach, Jimmy Valvano, don't give up. Don't ever get up in your effort to spread the truth about what really happened on 9/11. And in your efforts to get a new 9/11 investigation. Charles would like everybody to go to the website, ae911truth.org. ae911truth.org. Thank you, Charles. From Greensboro, North Carolina. As you know, the National Rifle Association had their annual Circle Jerk over the weekend. And the usual crowd of killers was there, except Romney. Romney's not a killer. He's just a big old teddy bear, but he wants people to think he's a killer. But Rick Santorum was there, John Bolton, the recess-appointed U.N. ambassador appointed by Bush, Scott Walker, House Majority Leader Eric Cantor. But the greatest enthusiasm, apparently, was shown to Newt Gingrich. Newt Gingrich. You know what he said? He said the right to use guns comes from God, not the U.S. government. That's right. Gingrich has gotten so far around the bend, over the hill, out of his skull. Is this what Callista is doing to him? Not to blame Callista, but, I mean, he wasn't this insane before he started hanging out with the Tiffany girl. Beep, boop, 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 beep, beep, boop. The right to bear arms comes from God, not our government, Gingrich said. He also added that the NRA, his words, has been too timid in promoting its everybody get a gun agenda beyond American borders. That's right. He said the Bill of Rights, or the Second Amendment, was not written only for Americans. He said it's universal. And then he went on to say, oh, my God, this guy is so out of his crawl space. He said, quote, referring to himself as he frequently does in the third person, he says, the Gingrich presidency will submit to the UN a treaty that extends the right to bear arms as a human right to every person on the planet. Oh, God have mercy. Oh, Newt, you psycho. You teddy bear psycho, you. Every world citizen, he said. World citizen? Quote, deserves the right to defend themselves from those who exploit, imprison, or kill them, end quote. A lot of that goes on by our CIA, right? So what are you saying, Newt? You're trying to assassinate CIA members now. I see. So now Gingrich is advocating the assassination of soldiers, CIA members, and anyone else who takes advantage of the fact that sane people don't have guns. That's according to the way I read this. He said, we don't need to go across the planet trying to impose American values. But we need to go across the planet spreading human values. And the right to carry a gun is a right for all mankind. Jesus God! It can't get any crazier. It just can't get any more insane than that. Oh, by the way, Gingrich's think tank filed for bankruptcy last Wednesday, according to the Atlanta Business Chronicle. The Center for Health Transformation, which The psycho teddy bear launched in 2003 is going belly up, according to the Washington Post. The group collected at least $37 million from healthcare insurers, pharmaceutical companies, and other industry groups over the last 8 years. $37 million. Buys a lot of bling from Tiffany's, doesn't it, you psychotic freak? In its bankruptcy filing, the Center for Health Transformation listed liabilities of $1 to $10 million. Assets? Now, this is not anything new for the Newtster. Since 1984, Gingrich has launched a dozen politically oriented organizations based in Washington. Of those, five have been investigated by the Internal Revenue Service and the Health Ethics Committee. Another five closed down with debts totaling more than $500,000, and two were subject to legal action. Jesus. You go, Newtster! Yeah! Yeah! The Gingrich insisted he's going to stay in the race despite his campaign's massive debt and the fact that Romney is going to be the nominee. And even his top money man, Sheldon Adelson, declared that Gingrich is, quote, at the end of his line. Somebody's line, I guess. Adelson and his line. So, yeah, the Gingrich campaign is in debt up to its eyeballs, but all Newt will do is just wait until it's time and just file another bankruptcy. So, everybody get armed around the world, and the Newtster, while he sucks $37 million out of the pharmaceutical industry, the insurance industry, this industry, that, health transformation! He is a transformational president. Don't you know? Except you're never going to be one, Newt. You're a transformational punk ass is what you are. A transformational punk. I guess when you have an android for a spouse, beep, boop, boop, beep, 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 you have to provide lots of bling to the extent of ripping people off to the tune of $37 million. $37 million for what? Oh, that's right. He's an historian. Well, I gave them history lessons. $37 million. That's just the scam he ran here with the health transformational thingamahoppy. Newt has a way of scamming. People look at him and think, well, he did used to be the Speaker of the House. Yeah, but you left out the next part. He got run out of town. Just like the governor of Georgia right now. He used to be a member of the Georgia delegation to the U.S. House till he got run out of town. Man. Oh, well. All right, we have some Romney stuff for you tonight that I think you'll find interesting. Romney has got to be the most ass-backwards man ever created. I mean, this guy, I read some, there's in the New York Times, Sunday Times book review section. Somebody has written, a couple of people have written a book about Romney, and it's more or less a stroke job. It's just nice Romney, pat, 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 nice Romney, good boy, pat, pat, pat. They leave out an awful lot of stuff about Romney, some of which I'm going to tell you when we come back. So do stick around.
Do you have a light? We're all compassionate. Mike Malloy.
So back in January, Mitt Romney said that poor women who stay at home to raise their children, right? Poor women, not like his wife, poor women who stay at home to raise their children should be given federal assistance so they can hire someone and come in and take care of their kids so that the woman can get her ass out of the house and go get a job. And according to Mitt, quote, have the dignity of work, end quote. Like your wife didn't, Mitt? Now, this kind of puts him in an awkward position, doesn't it, about all the mouth-flapping he and his wife did about Hillary Rosen's comment that she's never worked a day in her life, Ann Romney, and all of a sudden we have the Republican swine, as usually, just gobbling up this crap and spitting out memes that now have been risen to the point, or lowered to the point, that Barack Obama and his wife are anti-mom. Doesn't take long. Doesn't take long for the filth, the right-wing filth in this country, to really, really get something going. MSNBC's Chris Hayes on his program on Sunday found the video from January. He said, let's see. On Sunday, Romney spokeswoman Amanda Hennenberg told the Huffington Post in an email, quote, moving welfare recipients onto work was one of the basic principles of the bipartisan welfare reform. Yeah, you know how they send out the nearest geek to spin this. Romney, however, according to what he said back in January, views stay-at-home moms who are supported by federal assistance much differently from those backed by hundreds of millions of dollars in private equity income. Notice how that works? Huh? Poor women, he said, shouldn't be given a choice, but should be required to work outside the home if they want to get their temporary assistance for needy families benefits. Romney said of moms on temporary assistance, quote, even if you have a child 2 years of age, you need to go to work. Wow. Really? Recalling his effort as governor to increase the amount of time women on welfare in Massachusetts were required to work, Romney noted that some had considered his proposal heartless. But he argued that the women would be better off having, quote, the dignity of work, end quote. A suggestion that maybe Ann Romney would like to comment on. She's never had the dignity of work. Ann, you're without dignity? Really? The dignity of work? Oh, my. Well, that's a character flaw then, isn't it, Ann Romney? The Mitster said, quote, I wanted to increase the work requirement. I said, for instance, that even if you have a child 2 years of age, you need to go to work. You need to go to work. And people said, well, that's heartless. And I said, no, no, I'm willing to spend more giving daycare to allow those parents to go back to work. Regardless of its level of dignity, for Ann Romney, her work raising her children would not have fulfilled her work requirement had she been on temporary assistance to needy families benefits. As the Huffington Post reported Thursday, as far as Uncle Sam is concerned, if you're poor, deciding to stay at home and rear your children is not an option. Thanks to welfare reform, recipients of federal benefits must prove to a caseworker that they have performed over the course of a week a certain number of hours of, quote, work activity, end quote. That number changes from state to state, and each state has discretion as to how narrowly work is defined. But federal law lists 12 broad categories that are covered. Raising children is not among them. Here are the dozen activities that fulfill the work requirement. One, unsubsidized employment. Two, subsidized private sector employment. Three, subsidized public sector employment. Four, work experience. Five, on-the-job training. Six, job search and job readiness assistance. Seven, community services programs. Eight, vocational education training. Nine, job skills training directly related to employment. 10, education directly related to employment. 11, satisfactory attendance at a secondary school. And 12, provision of child care to a participant of a community service program. What does all that mean? It means Ann Romney never worked a day in her life. Exactly what Hillary Rosen said. And her husband, the minister, said that, well, you know, you got to have the dignity of work if you're going to be a real mother, a real person, a real American, a real woman, a real human being. Well, minister, Mr. Minister, what about your wife? I mean, where's the dignity of getting herself out of her little multi-million dollar nest and dignifying herself? Amen? Sponsored by Charles from Greensboro, North Carolina. He writes, Mike, I want to send a shout-out to the 9-11 truthers, especially to Richard Gage, founder of Architects and Engineers for 9-11 Truth. I say to them, in the words of NC State University legendary coach Jimmy Valvano, don't give up, don't ever give up in your efforts to spread the truth about what really happened on 9-11 and in your efforts to get a new 9-11 investigation. Go to their website, AE911truth.org. AE911truth.org. From Charles in Greensboro. Thanks, Charles. Romney's deceit and hypocrisy, both he and his wife, is just astonishing. These are religious people, remember. These are religious people. Romney wrote a book entitled No Apology, The Case for American Greatness. I don't know when he wrote it, some time ago, but in it he argues that children of non-working parents, people who don't have jobs outside the home, will be conditioned to have what he wrote as, quote, an indolent and unproductive life, end quote. Does that apply to you, to Newt's family? Or I mean to Mitt's family? This is what he wrote, quote, in some quarters, however, the American work ethic is waning. Some people devote themselves to find ways not to work. Jesus God, where does this freak live? Some seem to take a perverse kind of pride in being slipshod or lackadaisical. And in many cases where our work culture has deteriorated, short-sighted government policies share a good part of the blame. Welfare without work erodes the spirit and the sense of self-worth of the recipient, and it conditions the children of non-working parents to an indolent and unproductive life. Wow. I'm sure the right-wingers love to hear that. But if all moms have to be working moms in order to satisfy... Well, let me put it this way. Ann was able to devote herself full-time to the work of being a stay-at-home mother. Other women got to do both. And millions of other mothers, including a disproportionate number on welfare, have to do all this on their own without a partner. Well, I mean, the federal government does at least acknowledge the value of child care in the list of the 12 things that fulfill the work requirement. According to a 2012 Urban Institute study, that means like within the past 2-3 months, a single mother is required to work 30 hours a week, but the requirement drops to 20 if she has a child under 6. A married woman, such as Ann Romney, would not be entitled to such a reduction in the requirement. If a married couple receives federally funded child care, the work requirement increases by 20 hours, from 35 hours to 55 hours between the two of them. Well, gee, it just doesn't seem fair, does it? Mitt and Ann Romney are revealing themselves to be the typical religious hypocrites that so many of their ilk are. So many of their ilk are. Romney says, Mitt says, children brought up in a household without public work, work outside the home, are conditioned to an indolent and non-productive life. And you got to wonder, does that include your children, Mitt? Or are your children somehow exempt? Your wife, in her ringing dulcet tones, made a choice to stay home. Well, good for her. Good for her. Would that every mother in America, Mitt, could make that kind of a choice. But sadly, you're not going to believe this, Mitt. Sadly, only about 0.1%, if that, has the kind of support system that your wife has with your $300 million fortune. So where does that leave you, Ann and Mitt Romney? Where does that leave you in your self-satisfied, kind of condescending, arrogant attitude? Especially when Ann Romney bounced across the stage at the National Rifle Association about, look at me. I'm a mom. Really? What a couple of hypocrites. And it's just unbridled hypocrisy. There's no subtlety here at all. I mean, it's out in print what Mitt Romney said about mothers who won't get their asses out of the house and go to work. Welfare mothers, you know, mothers that are getting temporary assistance to needy families, it's called. What is that? A handful of food stamps? A couple of utility bills paid? And according to Mitt Romney, even if you have a child under 2, get your ass to work. Really? What about your wife, Mitt? She's exempt, right? Just like Callista, beep, boop, boop, beep, beep, boop, is exempt from any kind of oversight where it concerns Newt. Would you like a $30 million ring, sweetie? Okay, let me just swindle a few more freaks here about, let me say, who have I not scored on yet? I got the pharmaceuticals, I got the, I'll tell you what, I don't have anything here from the nuclear industry. Hold on just a second, let me make a few phone calls, Callista, beep, boop, boop, beep, beep. And I'll see if I can get enough money together to buy you a nice diamond pendant. I'm just curious. I just wonder where Mitt Romney's, or when Mitt Romney's hypocrisy, and now the utter hypocrisy of his wife. And a little bit later tonight, I'll tell you what she said at a party, private party in Florida on Sunday. They were at a fundraiser for very exclusive little group of people. And Ann Romney had a very interesting comment or two about the little poop storm that started with Hillary Rosen saying, Ann Romney's never worked a day in her life. And all of a sudden, that has been spun into somehow the knuckle draggers, the booger eaters who pay attention to Limbaugh and Fox and Beck and the rest of these swine. It wasn't Hillary Rosen that said it at all. No, you know who said it. It was Barack Obama and his wife. They said it together. They did. It wasn't Hillary Rosen. It was the Obamas. The Obamas don't like motherhood. The Obamas don't like mothers. No, they don't. You didn't know that? Oh, listen, Obama's policies have put more women out of work, moms out of work, than anybody since, I don't know, Simon Legree? It's surprising that Obama doesn't tie them to railroad tracks with a freight train coming. But the minister and his precious wife, Anne, they, of course, understand all this. The Obamas were attacking motherhood. Well, wait a minute. Was it the Obama? I thought it was Hillary Rosen. No, it was the... Just let your mind float. You're watching Fox. Let your mind float. The Obamas are attacking motherhood. Obamas? I thought it was somebody named Hill. No, it wasn't Hillary Clinton. Oh, I'm getting all confused. It was the Obamas? Yes! The Obamas don't like motherhood. Oh my God, you're kidding me. No! It's true! They don't. Wow. Well, then, I guess I should vote for Mitt because he and his wife love motherhood. That's right. They love motherhood. They love mothers. They love hoods. They love babies. They love bees. They love babes. The Obamas hate mothers. Say it. The Obamas hate. Say it. Mothers. There you go. Now you got it. Say it again. The Obamas hate motherhood. The Obamas hate motherhood. That's a boy. The Obamas hate motherhood. Man, oh man, oh man. Hey, have you heard? The Obamas hate motherhood. It's just astonishing. I mean, how can you be president of the United States and hate motherhood? I've never heard of such a thing, but it's true. You know, it's really true. They hate motherhood. Now, the Romneys, on the other hand, they love motherhood. But the Obamas, they hate motherhood. I know. Oh, my God. Wait till I tell everybody down at the club. They hate motherhood. I can't believe this. They hate motherhood. It's so simple. They just hate motherhood.
Thank you, sir. You're very
sponsored by Charles from Greensboro, North Carolina, who wants you to go to the website AE911Truth.org, AE911Truth.org, to see the evidence that thoroughly disputes the official 9/11 conspiracy. And he wants to send a shout-out to the 9/11 Truthers, especially to Richard Gage, founder of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. Charles says to them, in the words of NC State legendary coach Jimmy Valvano. Don't give up. Don't ever give up in your efforts to spread the truth about what really happened on 9/11. Charles, thank you. I appreciate your sponsorship very much. From Prairie 2, human flesh is just too tempting. Uh-oh. A lot of things happen today that don't seem to have much significance, the same way that one snowflake at the bottom of the mountain that begins rolling downhill doesn't have much significance to the ski lodge at the bottom until it gets there in the form of a million-ton avalanche. China has announced that starting today, the renminbi, their money, will be allowed to float a full percentage point each day in currency trading with the U.S. dollar, double the previous policy. This seems like merely a snowflake until you consider that what the People's Republic of China has been spending, $200 billion each year, to keep this from happening. This has much to do with why China has acquired over $3 trillion in foreign currency reserves, though some is in euros and other currency. The biggest reason China has so much cash is that the U.S. has allowed huge transnational corporations like GE, Hewlett-Packard, and Walmart, among many, to keep their money offshore. This used to be treated as tax fraud. That so-called tax shelter in the Cayman Islands isn't there because the Caymans has no income tax, but because it is simply a shell game. Transnational corporations buy from themselves in an offshore country to sell in the U.S. so that the actual trade, so-called, with China takes place in a never-never land of no taxes. Nothing more substantial than a P.O. box will take for itself all the markup on the transaction. This leaves no profit in the United States to be taxed. Ostensibly, they are known as U.S. corporations, but they have accumulated offshore more like $2 trillion in U.S. dollars this way. This sort of extra legal wheeling and dealing is why somebody like Mitt Romney has bank accounts in Switzerland and the Cayman Islands. It's no wonder he said that basically his tax returns are none of your business. Back to the new liberalized trading of the yuan. More Chinese money, I guess. If China really does allow its currency to be exchanged in an unregulated way, we should, in theory, see the U.S. dollar rise in value, making all that stuff Walmart sells become 40% more expensive. That should make manufacturing jobs come back to the U.S. The problem is that you can't really rely on monetary policy alone to create an economy. You need an actual trade policy, a policy on manufacturing, a policy on the financial sector, on labor, energy, education, you know, all that stuff that the first Congress back in 1790 created. What did they create? The country. And that Ronald Reagan did away with. An economic policy that was designed by Alexander Hamilton took us from a wooden shovel economy to the greatest industrial power on the planet, a status that China will claim for its own in the next 5 years because they understand our history and we don't. This is not to say that we Americans have no potential. American technology was able to take a human heart and make it beat inside Dick Cheney's chest. Of course, he may tear it out and eat it at any moment. China is working on a cure, and we'll probably find it. Prairie2.com. Well, Prairie 2 is getting almost as vile as Mike Malloy. Yeah, Cheney. Oh, Bruce is right. I mean, it's just astonishing. Cheney and his daughter, is it Liz? Whew. They're out there now that he has somebody else's heart in his chest. Not that heart transplants are bad, I guess. I mean, heart transplants are good, right? If you really, really need one. But why? I mean, I don't understand the theory behind giving a heart to someone who is slowly dying because he doesn't have one anymore, and yet that same person is responsible for hundreds of thousands of deaths. Innocent people, men, women, children, who did nothing but stand in the way of Dick Cheney's greed and desire to kill as many people as he could. A mass murderer, by any definition, I don't give a damn where you fall on the political spectrum. You know, and I know, especially you phony-ass right-wingers, you know what Cheney and Bush did. You know what they did with the invasion of Iraq. So this mass killer, this murderer, takes somebody's heart. I don't know. I guess eventually there's justice. Where it concerns Dick Cheney, though, how in the hell is it ever going to be served? Program. This hour is being sponsored by Diane in Kansas. Thanks, Diane. She has a message. Hi, Mike. Thanks for all you do. I especially like it that you don't let the fascist wingnuts take up time on your show. They get more than enough time elsewhere, I'm sorry to say. Diane in Kansas. Thanks, Diane. Thanks for the sponsorship. You're right, too. I try not to... Spend too much time, just enough time to beat him around the head and shoulders on the program. Pulitzer Prizes are being awarded, as they are every year. Huffington Post has won its first Pulitzer. David Wood is the writer at Huffington. His work was titled Beyond the Battlefield. I think it was a 10 or 12 part, maybe longer than that, series exploring the challenges that face American soldiers when we come when they come back from wounded from Iraq or Afghanistan or wherever corporate America is waging war. So congratulations to David Wood at Huffington Post, wins their first Pulitzer. Fox News won a Pulitzer for fiction. The prize committee praised Fox's imagination and inventiveness. In the press release, it says, in an unprecedented honor for the Rupert Murdoch-led network, the Fox News Channel today won the Pulitzer Prize for Fiction. In its official statement, the prize committee praised Fox for exhibiting, quote, an imagination and inventiveness that rivaled the best of Charles Dickens and J.R.R. Tolkien, end quote. In hailing Fox, the committee singled out the network's 14-part story about President Obama's birth in a mud hut in Kenya. And for Mr. Murdoch, of course, the stunning Pulitzer Prize win was a rare bright spot in what he acknowledged has been a difficult year. He said, when I first heard about the Pure Source Committee's decision, I had to listen to the voicemails to hear it for myself. Thanks to Andy Borowitz for the bit on Fox winning the Fiction Award. Yes, indeedy. And regarding Mrs. Romney's glorious decision to stay home and raise her children, and the fact that her husband said that women who do that, welfare women who do that, of course, you know, Mitt Romney's wife is way, way, way above a welfare woman, a welfare mother. But the Mitster says that welfare mothers who decide to stay home and raise their children are missing out on a very important thing and should be forced to go to work. Put your kid in daycare. Excuse me. Put your kid in daycare. But as Prairie 2 writes, what do you call the average mother in poverty with children who isn't eligible for welfare? Because the, depending on how red the state is, the 2 to 5 year lifetime limit for assistance has run out. This is whether they have a spouse or not. Well, they're called the homeless working poor. Millions of people who live in their cars or under bridges or imposed on an assortment of friends and family when they can. These mothers make choices just like Ann Romney. They choose between filling a prescription for the baby or feeding everyone else. And Romney's dressage horses don't seem to come up to that standard. Some choose between prostitution or starvation. But those, of course, are fallen women. And we don't even talk about them. There are lots of things the right-wing crazy people don't talk about in the real-world terms, but they do have self-righteous talking points to cover all of them. Jesus had things to say about these things, but the right worships Jesus as a god, so they don't need to mention the things he said about these things. Prairie 2. Phyllis Schlafly is back in the news. I find it amazing that she's still alive and can still give speeches. She went to the Citadel. In South Carolina, the Citadel. West Point South, they call it. She went to speak at the Citadel, which now offers a course entitled Conservative Intellectual Tradition in America. How about that? Speaking to the all-male audience, because it is the Citadel, I thought there was a lawsuit some time ago that, oh, that's right, what was the woman's name? Shannon? And she was admitted, and they harassed her? Oh, it's so long ago. Speaking to an all-male audience, Schlafly assured them that women don't care about the issue of contraception. And Phyllis Schlafly warned these future gentlemen not to date feminists. God have mercy. She said, quote, the recent political flap about contraception being an important issue for women is completely contrived by Democrats and the media to divert attention from abortion and other important issues. Contraception is not controversial. The issue is not access, it's who's going to pay for it, end quote. Ooh, was that? The issue is not access, she said. It's who's going to pay for it. Access to, what? Phyllis? You little sweetie, you. Are you being cute? The issue is not access to, let's see, now she's talking about contraception. Access to what? The womb? The vagina? Well, she said it. The issue is not access. It's who's going to pay for it. Pay for what? Pay for what, Phyllis? Ooh, Phyllis Schlafly. You were just getting funky with the Citadel students, weren't you? Contraception is not controversial. The issue is not access. It's who's going to pay for it. Schlafly went on to say that most women, that means 50% plus one, are concerned about issues like religious liberty, not issues being drummed up by feminists to build support for President Kenya. Well, she called him Barack Obama. Oh, and by the way, feminists are working through the media and other channels, according to Phyllis, because the American public no longer seems to strongly support their agenda. Phyllis said, quote, feminists are having a hard time being elected because they essentially are unlikable. She warned the students at the Citadel, the cadets, I should say, about having personal relationship with feminists. She said, quote, find out if your girlfriend is a feminist before you get too far into her. Oop, into it. Into her? It, come on, Phyllis. Some of them are pretty. They don't all look like Bella Abzug. Or you. Right, Phyllis? What did somebody tell me one time? Phyllis Schlafly is so ugly she scared her son gay? No. No. Phyllis Schlafly, don't date feminists. Find out if your girlfriend is a feminist before you get into her. You gotta love these psychos. You gotta love them. They are just so rancid. The zombie speaks. This guy is, it's like a character out of a horror movie or horror book. Fresh off life-saving surgery, which gave him a new heart, former Vice President Dick Cheney wasted no time shedding the hospital gown for a sports coat in order to lambaste current occupant of the White House, Barack Obama. Walking on stage unaided, appearing strong and healthy, Dick Cheney was able to give a talk for over an hour to a gathering at the Wyoming State Republican Convention. He sat on a chair as he chatted with his daughter Liz, talking about various subjects from his health to concerns for the country under the leadership of President Obama. He said, quote, I won't be running any foot races yet, but it won't be long. Somebody's going to give me feet, just like they gave me a heart. The crowd of approximately 300 gave him a long standing ovation. He added, I owe a huge debt to the person who gave me this heart. Vice President Cheney didn't wade into the wonders of America's present healthcare system that makes miraculous cures to once fatal illnesses commonplace, or how he thinks Obamacare would change all of that. That will be dealt with in upcoming speeches, he promised as he gets his strength back. But he did wade into the president's handling of our country, and in his typical fashion, he didn't mince words. He minces babies, but not words. Quote, it's been an unmitigated disaster to the country. I can't think of a time when I felt it was more, if you will, important for us to defeat an incumbent president today with respect to Barack Obama. I think he's been an unmitigated disaster to the country. I think to be in a position where he gets four more years in the White House to continue the policies he has, both with respect to the economy, if you will, and tax policy and defense and some other areas would be a huge, huge, huge disappointment. An unmitigated disaster to the country, that would be like... See, Obama has only ordered the execution of, oh, I don't know, if you count collateral damage, what, 200 people? Okay, 300? Cheney, on the other hand, with the bloodlust that transcends just about any living person, certainly in any living white person, you know, the colored folk have their own standards. But Cheney, hundreds of thousands butchered for his pleasure, his oil, his pleasure. Show me those torture videos again. The wife and I are gonna, you know, have a drink tonight, and you never know what might happen. So let me see those torture videos. It has a way of stimulating me. Run the torture videos! Oh. Oh, look at that. Oh, he's screaming there, isn't he? Can you turn up the volume? There is no volume. But it's silent? Where's the volume? I have to be able to hear the screams. All right, I want to know who took these videos. Bring them to my quarters after midnight. Thank you. The zombie speaks. Oh, my God. That's a former president of the United States. Unbelievable. Do you have torture videos in color?
Thank you.
Mark reminds me it was not the Citadel who refused to allow a female cadet. It was Virginia Military Institute, VMI. Shannon, I forget her last name, was harassed. The Citadel, I don't know what happened with them. And female students, you know, if you take federal money, you are supposed to recognize the humanity of all America's children, not just the boys. This hour is being sponsored by Diane in Kansas. She writes, "Hi, Mike, thanks for all you do. I especially like it that you don't let the fascist wingnuts take up time on your show. They get more than enough airtime elsewhere, I'm sorry to say." Yes, they do, Diane. They like to try, but the ones who get through usually last about a minute until I'm finished dicking around with them. Crooks and Liars, Lee in New York also sent this to me. Crooks and Liars website has posted a Fox interview with a pastor, Robert Jeffress. The interview includes this little bit. Dallas pastor Dr. Robert Jeffress first said in 2007 that Romney was not qualified to be president because, quote, Mormonism is a cult, unquote. Jeffress told his congregation, quote, "Mitt Romney is a Mormon, and don't let anybody tell you otherwise. Even though he talks about Jesus as his Lord and Savior, he is not a Christian. Mormonism is not Christianity. Mormonism is a cult." God. Listen to him. Listen to them. Lee writes, "Mike, it bothers me, as I'm sure that it bothers you, that some people do not understand that this nation was founded as a republic, not a theocracy. There are only two restrictions on becoming president of the United States, born in the U.S. and at least 35 years old. Frankly, I'm surprised no one has challenged Barack Obama's age. After all, these people believe that the universe is only 6,000 years old." Yeah, well, you know, watching so-called Christians devour their own is something that's always fascinated me. It's just, I mean, aside from watching religions try to eat the other religion, destroy it, cut it into little chunks and turn it into dust, kick it into hell, whatever. That's, in a very macabre way, funny enough. It's horrifying, but not funny in a ha-ha, but funny in an, oh my God, they're all psycho kind of way. Although that's not funny either, is it, Mike? Well, I'll tell you what, that's bad enough, but to watch Christians slice and dice each other. I wonder what Jesus would say about all this. Oh, man. Well, see, this presents a Hobson's choice for right-wingers in this country. You know, do they go with the cult guy or do they stay with the color guy? Oh, my God. You know, Obama, he's not like us. And Romney, he's part of a cult. You know, I'm sorry, but Mormonism to me reminds me a lot of Scientology. You know, they have their own just such weird. And when you check out Joseph Smith's history before he had the tablets revealed to him by the angel Moroni, buried in the woods in Pennsylvania, one time several years ago, before Molly, Kathy and I were visiting my daughter, who was at the time living in western Massachusetts, right near Vermont. And we were driving around in the Green Mountains. If you've never been to the Green Mountains, it's beautiful. It's so strange. One side of the mountains, you can be on one side of a huge ridge, and it'll be sunny and 60 degrees. You go over the ridge, it'll be cloudy, 40 degrees and snowing, or 30 degrees and snowing. But we drove around, right around the border area between Vermont and Massachusetts, and I guess we were in Vermont, and we came to a little tiny village. Looked almost alpine, tucked away in the Green Mountains, and we drove up a winding, kind of twisty main street. It looked like, I swear it looked like one of those places that Stephen King writes about. You know, one of those villages where, in New England, where everything looks normal, but it isn't. Anyway, came around a corner and there was a plaque that said, here is the town that Joseph Smith was born in. The founder of the Mormon religion. Wow. I mean, that was kind of weird. Just driving around, just randomly. Well, we're looking for anything. Maybe some syrup. I don't know. And there it was. Can you imagine just driving around someplace on Mars and find the birthplace of L. Ron Hubbard? Be about the same thing, wouldn't it? Scientology and Mormonism. I don't know, man. You know, whatever gets you through the night. Now, you talk about disaster capitalism. I mean, it's one thing to get all giddy and weak in the knees when you see that a couple of countries someplace are just beating the living hell out of each other, because you know when it's all over, you're going to take your Kellogg, Brown, and Root or whoever, and you're going to go in there and you're just going to make a lot of money, man. Damn, look at that. Woo, there goes another bridge. Oh, wow, they just wiped out downtown whatever. Oh, God, I'm going to make some money. Disaster capitalism is bad enough, but what about this? This is from the Associated Press. To the world's military leaders, the debate over climate change is long over. The military, you see, most countries, the military says, yep, global climate change, it's happening. So the debate is over. It's just the right-wingers in this country who are convinced it's a liberal plot by the Kenyan in the White House. Anyway, the world's militaries are preparing for a new kind of Cold War in the Arctic, anticipating that rising temperatures there will open up a treasure trove of resources, long dreamed of sea lanes, and a slew, good word, of potential conflicts. By Arctic standards, the region is already buzzing with military activity, and experts believe that will increase significantly in the years ahead. Last month, Norway wrapped up one of the largest Arctic maneuvers ever. It was called Exercise Cold Response, with 16,000 troops from 14 countries training on the ice for everything from high-intensity warfare to terror threats. Oh, and during the war games, five Norwegian troops were killed when their C-130 Hercules aircraft crashed. The U.S., Canada, and Denmark held major exercises 2 months ago, and in an unprecedented move, the military chiefs of the eight main Arctic powers, that would be Canada, the U.S., Russia, Iceland, Denmark, Sweden, Norway, and Finland, gathered at a Canadian military base last week to specifically discuss regional security issues. Ta-da! Of course, none of this means that about to have a shooting war at the North Pole. But as the number of workers and ships increase in the high north, you know, to get the oil and the gas, right? There would be a need for policing and border patrols and eventually military muscle to enforce rival claims. This is going to be fun, right? Huh? So there you have it. You know, the ice caps are melting. Oceans are rising. And the militaries are figuring out, okay, we better be prepared, because the next thing they know, they're going to be coming down the Northwest Passage, and they're going to get over there in the Chukchuk Sea and take our oil. Our oil? Yeah, it's our oil. Oh, okay, well, let's kill them. The U.S. Geological Survey estimates that 13% of the world's undiscovered oil and 30% of its untapped natural gas is in the Arctic. Holy cow. Shipping lanes are going to be regularly open across the Arctic by 2030 because rising temperatures continue to melt the sea ice. Russia, Canada, and the U.S. have the biggest stakes in the Arctic. But here's the sad part. With its military budget stretched thin by Iraq, Afghanistan, and more pressing issues elsewhere, the United States has been something of a reluctant northern power. Though its nuclear-powered submarine fleet, which can navigate for months underwater and below the ice cap, remains second to none. Da-da! Russia, one-third of which lies within the Arctic Circle, is warning everybody. Noting that the Arctic is warming twice as fast as the rest of the globe, the U.S. Navy a couple of years ago announced a beefed-up Arctic roadmap. So while you and I might worry about global climate change being a disaster, no, it's really a golden opportunity. Been sponsored by Diane in Kansas. She writes, "Hi, Mike. Thanks for all you do. I especially like it that you don't let the fascist wingnuts take up time on your show. They get more than enough airtime elsewhere, I'm sorry to say." Diane in Kansas. Thank you, Diane. Thank you very, very much. So anyway, oh, here it is. Thanks to Reg at TVNewsLies.org. Yes, women do go to the Citadel. But guess what? This story has kind of faded. I don't know. This is from November. What's this? April? A child sex abuse drama started to unfold at the Citadel a couple of months ago. Lewis Skip Reveal, a counselor at a Citadel summer camp, reportedly showed porn to boys at the camp in 2007. And, quote, sexual activity, end quote, is alleged to have occurred. After the incident was brought to their attention, Citadel officials did not report the matter to police. Oh, my God, it's just like the Catholic Church! Back in November, South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley demanded to know why. Why not? It's the Penn State scenario. Someone reports an authority figure's suspicious behavior with young boys to officials at a college with a noted tradition for moral integrity. And college authorities apparently fail to follow up. And years later, you get a molestation scandal erupts and people begin demanding answers from the school brass and yada, yada, yada. In 2007, a teenager alleged to Citadel authorities that Reveal showed porn to boys, according to the Charleston Post and Courier. CNN reports that no one touched each other during the porn-watching session, but that sexual activity occurred. What did they do? Think each other off? God. The guy at the center of all this, Skip Reveal, is 32, is a Citadel graduate who has held a number of jobs and volunteer positions that put him close to children, including work as a vice principal of a Christian academy. Oh, well, there's a surprise. And as a children's tennis coach. Ooh, there's another one. He also became a foster parent. Aha! Registered with the South Carolina Department of Social Services, according to CNN. Ooh, a Christian who just loves, so to speak, children. Back in October, he was arrested on suspicion of molesting five boys. Police told the paper there that more charges are coming. Where I wonder where they are. Anyway, back in November, Haley wanted to know why Citadel leaders didn't report the matter to police. Well, did you find out why, Gov? I mean, what happened to the story? The Citadel has reportedly hired an outside consulting firm to review the way it handled the 2007 complaint. Isn't that just so typical, though? You have these institutions with the high moral standards and the very strict code of honor, and they have to hire somebody from the outside to find out why the police weren't notified that there was a sexual predator on their staff. Isn't that just, I mean, it's so unsurprising, isn't it? Huh? It's just like the Catholic hierarchy. Well, you know, we didn't have to hire anybody. We just got old Donahue over here at the Catholic League, and, you know, he just hired a couple of toughs and beat the hell out of anybody that made a story about anything, about all these priests that are buggering little boys. I mean, that's nobody's business. This is the church. So that kind of answers the question about the Citadel and its policies regarding truth, honor, justice, the American way. The Citadel, of course, that was the inspiration for Pat Conroy's novel, The Lords of Discipline. And in 2011, it was named the number one public college in the South by U.S. News and World Report. Its honor code is a particular point of pride. As a matter of fact, until 2007, there were no locks on students' doors. I wonder what happened in 2007. Ooh, wait. That's when the molestation started. Oh, I get it. Okay. Time to put locks on the doors. Oh, Skip is prowling the Citadel. Why is it always, not always, just 99% of the time, when's the last time you heard of an American Muslim or American Jew or an American Hindu, you know, especially in the priesthood, or not the priesthood necessarily in Judaism or Islam, but molesting children? I know, you're going to say, well, they don't molest children, Mike, they just cut the heads off of women. I understand, I do. And of course, the Christians burned a couple million people at the stake back, you know, trying to weed out the witches a few hundred years ago. But I'm just wondering why these horrendous sex scandals involve Christians. What's up with that? Does anybody have, I've known lots of Christians, and they weren't all perverted and weird about sex. They were perverted and weird about, oh, there's spooks in the sky. But they weren't perverted and weird. What happened? What happened? Somebody, I feel like I've been asleep. What happened to the Republican Party? What happened to Christianity? What happened to the Catholic Church? What the hell has happened? Anybody know? You send me an email? Anything? Hello? Can somebody tell me what happened? I don't know. I don't know, man. It's just weird. It's just, I don't know. I don't know. Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. So some items that have wriggled away or just came to our attention. You know, Cheney was out of his box. I don't know. He and his crazed daughter appeared on some stage, I think, over the weekend. I don't know why I'm even mentioning this. Cheney is Cheney's actually dead, and his body was reanimated. And now he travels around with his psycho daughter. She keeps him in a trunk and takes him out when they get on the stage and then, you know, turns on the program and beep, 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 boop, 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 off he goes. So he was out there blabbing about something about Obama has been a disaster. This from Cheney. A war criminal right up there. I don't know if he would fit in with Goering and Himmler and the rest of the boys that were in the Nazi high command, but he would be damn close. Why do people pay to have this traitor and his obviously deeply disturbed daughter sit on a stage and talk about stuff? I what is it that people want to hear out of Cheney's mouth? Why is he important? This is a guy that should have had the dignity to just slip on to whatever afterlife he believes in rather than take someone else's heart. Oh, God. I just, the whole thing creeps me out. But among the people who accuse Obama of everything, Obama is certainly derelict in a number of things that are very upsetting to liberals and progressives. Very upsetting. But those things the right-wing Nazis in this country never comment on. What they comment on is the ridiculous stuff, like saying Obama has been a threat to gun owners. Remember we talked about this, I think Thursday or Friday, because the Romneys, both of them, Frick and Frack, addressed the NRA convention. Boy, I bet that was fun. And, I got an email from Cynthia about that. And Cynthia points out Obama was the one who signed the law allowing guns into national parks. And Obama's trying to erode gun rights? I mean, but you see, in Republican world, in Romney world, in Fox, Rupert Murdoch's terror broadcast organization world, facts are, they don't exist. You have truthiness and you have absolute flat out deceit, lies, deception, misinformation. It's difficult to keep your bearings, I know, but Cindy writes, I wonder if the NRA creeps would have given Mitt Romney thunderous applause if he'd got up there and said, "Hi, I'm Mitt Romney and I wear magic underwear." I'm not exactly sure what that means, but all righty. Thanks, Cynthia. Now, speaking of the Romneys, over the weekend, on Sunday, they were at a private home in Florida. And it was a closed-door little gathering with high-rolling donors in Florida. And Romney was talking about plans that, you know, what he expects to implement if elected president in November. It's just so funny to hear that. If Romney, President Romney, oh, please. According to NBC News, Romney said he may decide to eliminate several government agencies, including the one that was at one time run by his old man, George. That was the Department of Housing and Urban Development. George Romney was that old line Republican who was still sociopathic, but not quite as not psychopathic like Republicans are today. There is a difference. It may be shades of gray, but there is a difference. And just like George W. Bush, Mitt Romney is trying to murder his dad, you know, psychologically speaking, so that he can assume the position in the Romney clan as being numero uno. It's really sick stuff. And I think Clinton had the same problem. I know Newt had the same problem. These guys who have to deal with their dead fathers, it's just, Jesus, why do they have to deal? Why don't they do it in a therapist's office? Why do they have to do it in the political system of the United States? It's beyond me. But anyway, Romney said, according to NBC News, at this little closed-door party, he said, quote, "I'm going to take a lot of departments in Washington and agencies and combine them. Eliminate some, but I'm probably not going to lay out just exactly which ones are going to go. Things like housing and urban development, which my dad was head of." He speaks so good, doesn't he? That might not be around later. Oh, my God. Romney also acknowledged he said, "I will either consolidate with another agency or perhaps make it a heck of a lot smaller." That's the Department of Education. "I'm not going to get rid of it entirely." He said that to do so would be a political pitfall and would eliminate a way to push back on powerful teachers' unions or something. Romney acknowledged the role these unions will have on the election, since many of them have pledged support for Obama. Romney said, quote, "The unions will put in hundreds of millions of dollars. There's nothing like it on our side." There's nothing like it on our side. Hundreds of millions of dollars. You lying son of a bitch. You're just a flat-out, flabbery-mouthed liar. You're a liar, Mitt. Not only are you a flip-flopper, but you are a liar of the deepest, worst sort. Your God is going to break your neck. Do you know that? Because you're such a liar? You do believe in God, right, Mitt? Does your religion allow for lies and deception? Of course it does. All religions alive allow for it. They preach against it, but they thrive on it. Now, also at this little closed-door session, his wife spoke. Now, you want to hear some hypocrisy? Remember how Ann Romney was supposed to have been so offended and so insulted by the statement made by Hillary Rosen, the Democratic strategist? Remember, Ann was just beside herself when Hillary Rosen said that Ann Romney had never worked a day in her life. Well, while speaking at this fundraiser, Ann Romney told the audience that what Hillary Rosen said was great. It was a boon to her and her husband's campaign. Miss Romney said, quote, "It was my early birthday present for someone to be critical of me as a mother. And that was really a defining moment. And I loved it." What? She loved it. Mitt, speaking after his wife, also said that the media's nonstop coverage of Hillary's criticism, along with the manufactured war on moms, was what he called also a gift. This is how sick both of these creeps are. Mitt and Ann. Ann and Mitt. Oh, they loved it. Oh, but wait a second. Wait a second, you hypocritical little devils. I thought you were both so upset. Ann Romney told Fox News, that's where they all run. They run to, it's like a public urinal, Fox News. "Oh, I have to go. I have to go. Look out. Here I come." And they run to Fox News. And Ann says, quote, "My career choice was to be a mother. And I think all of us need to know that we need to respect the choices women make." Except the ones concerning their own reproductive health. Right, Ann? Hello, right, Ann? Ann? Now, you want to hear some real hypocrisy from these two chumps, these two Romneys? Just stick around after the break, and I'll show you some real hypocrisy.
Flying Monkey Free Zone. It's Mike Malloy.
Past the hour. This hour is being sponsored by John. He writes, "Hi, Mike. I love your show. You are a true freedom fighter. I'm a former Marine and currently a police officer. I'm from a third world country, and I know fascism when I see it. These Republicans are freaking fascist. As Chesty Puller, the most decorated Marine, said, quote, beware of the military-industrial complex, end quote. Keep up the fight against these Nazi bastards. Thanks, Mike. Semper Fi." Well, thank you, John. Thank you very much. Political hypocrisy from the Romney duo, the gruesome twosome. Here they are at a fundraiser down in Florida. Closed door. Somehow a couple of media types got in there, and they're blowing the whistle on the Romneys. Oh, no! In addition to saying he's going to eliminate some of the offices, some of the federal bureaucracies. Sure you are, Mitt. Of course you are. You'll do that as soon as you get in there, right? Anyway, you talk about hypocrisy. In case Think Progress reports that if you don't think last week's controversy over stay-at-home moms was entirely manufactured out of air, thank God for Hillary Rosen. This should put the question to bed. Now, keep in mind the context here. Romney and his allies screaming and wringing their hands and rending their garments over the Democrats to declare war on mom. After Hillary Rosen made the point that Ann Romney hadn't worked a day in her life. Now, Romney's camp immediately had an interpretation. Well, this means Democrats don't value stay-at-home moms and motherhood. While they believe that women who stay home are doing real work. The Republicans believe that, right? Sure they do. But for every Romney action, there's an equal and opposite Romney reaction. And this morning, MSNBC's Chris Hayes, Sunday morning, dug up a video of Romney from January, just a couple of months ago, in which Romney said he wanted to require women who receive welfare to go to work, even if their children are very young. This is what he told a New Hampshire audience a couple of months ago. Quote, I wanted to increase the work requirement. I said, for instance, that even if you have a child 2 years of age, you need to go to work. And people said, well, that's heartless. And I said, no, no. I'm willing to spend more giving daycare to allow those parents to get back to work. It'll cost the state more providing that daycare, but I want the individuals to have the dignity of work. Really? Really? This is worse than hypocritical. And there's a clear difference here. Women who receive welfare benefits, the ones Romney wants to force to work, are poor. While Romney's old lady is very wealthy. And this exactly is the point CNN contributor Hillary Rosen was trying to make when she sparked the controversy, as it's being reported. Ann Romney had the luxury of choosing to devote herself full-time to raising her children. Of course it's hard work. Nobody ever said it wasn't. But millions of mothers are forced to work and raise their kids at the same time. That's what Romney says he wants to require poor women on government benefits to do. Get your ass out and get a job. Go to work at McDonald's. Go clean toilets. Go sweep the streets. What do you mean you want to stay home and take care of your children? Only people like my old lady can do that. We're rich! How dare Hillary Rosen accuse my wife of never having worked? She's always worked. I hate these people. I mean, I just literally. Oh, not to the point where it gives me ulcers or heart disease. No, it's ridiculous. Just on general principles, I hate them. They are so, so bad. The hypocrisy. So Romney, of course, has a double standard. One for rich women like his wife, Anne, and one for women who are not rich, who are given a choice. And the choice is put your kids in daycare and go to work, or stay home and lose your house, lose your car, get evicted. I hate these hypocrites. Well, I'll tell you what, your manufactured life after death to all you hypocrites is waiting for you with open arms. It really is. Before the hour. This hour is being sponsored by John, and he writes, Mike, I love your show. You're a true freedom fighter. I'm a former Marine and currently a police officer. I'm from a third world country, and I know fascism when I see it. These Republicans are freaking fascist. As Chesty Puller, the most decorated Marine, said, quote, beware of the military-industrial complex, end quote. Keep up the fight against these Nazi bastards. Thanks, Mike. Semper Fi. Thank you, John. I appreciate it very much. It must have been somebody who listened to Glenn Beck. This guy, what's his name? Breivik. That sounds like Breitbart almost, doesn't it? Breivik, with a defiant closed fist salute. This is from Oslo, Norway. A right-wing fanatic admitted today. Earlier today, to a bomb and shooting massacre that slaughtered 77 people, most of them young. In Norway, he pled not guilty, saying he was acting in self-defense. Oh, my God, another George Zimmerman type. Or, of course, this happened before Zimmerman. I guess Zimmerman. Well, Beck is the coalescing point on all these mass killers. This is where they get their ideas, is from Glenn Beck. On the first day of his long-awaited trial, Anders Behring Breivik. God, that sounds like, what's his name? Breivik. Anyway, he rejected the authority of the court, and he said, I don't recognize Norwegian courts because you get your mandate from the Norwegian political parties who support multiculturalism. That was Breivik's first comments to the court. Doesn't that sound like what Beck or Limbaugh or Hannity or the rest of these vermin? Doesn't that sound exactly like it? This is Breivik saying, I don't recognize Norwegian courts because you get your mandate from the Norwegian political parties who support multiculturalism. There you go. Right out of the Glenn Beck playbook, huh? How does it feel, Glenn, to know you inspired someone who murdered 77 people? Huh? Eight people were killed in Breivik's bombing of Oslo's government district, and 69 more were killed in a shooting massacre at the Labour Party's youth camp on Utoya Island outside the capital. And Breivik, doesn't this sound familiar? He said the attacks were necessary to protect Norway from being taken over by Muslims. How many Muslims did you kill there, Breivik? How many did you kill? Now, what he killed were Norwegian young people. But this is how listening to this right-wing stuff, I don't care if it's in Europe or United States, how it rots your mind, absolutely turns you into a mass killer. He told the court, quote, "I admit to the acts, but not criminal guilt," end quote. He said, you know, he acted in self-defense. Self-defense! According to reports, during today's opening session, this mass killer remained stone-faced and motionless as prosecutors read the indictment, with descriptions of how each victim died. Breivik suddenly became emotional when prosecutors showed an anti-Muslim video that he had posted on YouTube. He wiped away tears from his cheeks with trembling hands. After lunch break, Breivik was again expressionless as he watched prosecutors present surveillance footage of the Oslo explosion. He didn't flinch as prosecutors played a 3-minute recording of a young woman's frantic phone call to police from the island of Utoya. "Shots have been fired," this woman said with panic in her voice. She was 22. "I'm pretty sure there are many injured." "Are you still there?" the police officer asked. "Yes," she whispered. She fell silent again, breathing into the phone as more shots cracked in the background. She escaped the massacre unharmed and is scheduled to testify later in the trial. You listen to what comes out, what the poison that pumps out of this guy's mouth and his raised fist. And it is, and the fact that he is so Caucasoid, it is so like what happens in this country when people have a steady diet of hate radio from Beck and Limbaugh and Hannity and Bortz and all the rest of these slime. This is what they produce. It's what he... Anyway, Breivik claims he targeted the government headquarters in Oslo and the youth camp for allowing immigration into Norway. The 15 and 16-year-olds on this island, yes, they were very instrumental. And you wonder why it's so easy to see these people as totally psychotic. So go kill 60 youngsters. That'll stop them from ever voting again to allow immigrants, right? You sick bastard. Now, if deemed mentally competent, Breivik would face a maximum prison sentence of 21 years in jail or an alternate custody arrangement under which the sentence is prolonged for as long as an inmate is deemed a danger to society. 21 years for the deliberate, premeditated, right-wing-inspired slaughter of 77 people. 21 years. Anyway, Breivik wants to be judged as a sane person, and he says he's going to call to testify at his trial radical Islamists and extremists on the right and the left to testify to support, quote, his perception that there is a war going on in Europe, end quote. That's according to his lawyer. While Norway has a legal principle of preventive self-defense, kind of like stand your ground, all this connect, doesn't it? That doesn't apply to Breivik's case, said a legal expert in Norway who has written a book on the concept. This guy says, quote, "It is obvious that it has nothing to do with preventive self-defense," end quote. But that's what he's claiming. What this miserable bastard is claiming, that he had to defend himself by murdering 17 and 18 and 19-year-olds on an island in Norway because their trip to the island was being sponsored by a liberal, politically liberal organization that doesn't necessarily see anything wrong with allowing people of different religions and races and ethnic backgrounds into Norway. So the way to stop that is to go butcher children and teenagers. 21 years is all he's facing. Huh? After he surrendered to police, Breivik said to investigators that he is a resistance fighter from a far-right militant group modeled after the Knights Templar. Does that remind you of anything? Knights Templar, a Christian order that fought during the Crusades? Christians who participated in the wanton slaughter of Jews, Muslims, people they deemed to be witches, magicians, children, anybody who got in their way, the Knights Templar, or did you think they were heroes? So he is patterned himself, he has patterned himself on the Knights Templar. However, police said they found no trace of any organization and say he acted alone. The prosecutor told the court today, quote, in our opinion, such a network does not exist, end quote. In his manifesto that hasn't been read to the court yet, but Norway will probably allow him to read it, Breivik described the supposed group's initiation rites, oaths, and the clenched fist salute that he used in court, symbolizing, quote, strength, honor, and defiance against the Marxist tyrants of Europe, end quote. Marxist tyrants of Europe? Who, for Christ's sake, who? Well, all of them, Mike. They're all Marxist tyrants. If you're insane, they're all... Are you saying that Angela Merkel? Are you saying that Sarkozy? Are you saying that Cameron? These are Marxist tyrants of Europe? After blowing up parts of the government building and shooting dozens to death on the island of Utøya, Breivik surrendered to police. The police response to his terror spree was slowed by a series of mishaps, including the lack of an operating police helicopter. 21 years for the slaughter of 70 people. Been sponsored by John, who writes, Mike, I love your show. You're a true freedom fighter. I'm a former Marine and currently a police officer. I'm from a third world country, and I know fascism when I see it. These Republicans are freaking fascists. As Chesty Puller, the most decorated Marine, said, quote, beware of the military-industrial complex, end quote. Keep up the fight against these Nazi bastards. Thanks, Mike. Semper Fi. Thank you, John. I appreciate your sponsorship. I saw this last week. Didn't get around to it. It's pretty hard to believe. Do you know that pretty soon Big Bird could segue into a political ad for Mitt Romney, which would be a lying attack on Barack Obama. Again, there are so many legitimate areas to go after the Obama administration. All the carryovers from the Bush administration that Obama has continued and in some instances made even worse. But no, they're going to attack him on, oh, I don't know, the most petty crap, because the Republicans know their audience is petty. They know that people who vote Republican cannot handle even compound sentences, much less deal with any kind of political reality. So Republicans are fed baby food. Little spoons of baby food by whomever is their candidate. And it appears in this case it's going to be Romney. Well, anyway, a divided U.S. appeals court struck down a federal ban on political advertising on public TV and radio stations. How about that? By a 2-1 vote, now this wasn't the full court, but a panel of the 9th U.S. Circuit in San Francisco said the FCC violated the First Amendment's free speech clause by blocking public broadcasters from running political and public issue ads. OMFG, huh? The court said the ban was too broad and that lifting it would not threaten to undermine the educational nature of public broadcast stations. Not at all. No, no. Just put lies. Put all kinds of lies on the public television stations, right? Oh, by the way, it did uphold a ban for goods and services on behalf of for-profit companies, so you still can't do that. But you can put out the filth and the lies of the Romney campaign, or any campaign, on public television? Writing for the 2-1 majority, Judge Carlos Bia wrote, quote, public issue and political speech in particular is at the very core of the First Amendment protection, end quote. He went on to say, quote, public issue and political advertisements pose no threat to commercialization. Such advertisements do not encourage viewers to buy commercial goods or services. A ban on such advertising, therefore, cannot be narrowly tailored to serve the interests of preventing the commercialization of broadcasting. What? Do you have any idea what the man said? No, neither do I. The FCC had argued that the government has a significant interest in ensuring the airing of educational programs, many of which run on the PBS stations. And the FCC said if public broadcasting became more dependent on ads, they might create a void by replacing Sesame Street and other educational programming with programs that appeal to viewers, to other viewers or listeners. Jeffrey Silva, who is a telecommunications analyst at Medley Global Advisors, said the decision by this panel of the Ninth Circuit could help ease the scramble that public broadcasters often face to raise money. He said, quote, you can almost see with some of them that are very much vested in keeping public television's educational and nonpartisan nature intact. But this could be kind of a complicating factor. Really? He went on to say, you can envision where public TV does not look like it traditionally had. Really? It suddenly becomes a different animal. Norman Ornstein, resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, said the decision could, quote, fundamentally change the character of public television and radio by allowing deep-pocketed political and other organizations to begin swooping onto the public airwaves to air their messages. Ornstein, who, by the way, served on Public Broadcasting's board for 6 years, said, quote, this is just going to move us further away from what remains of a public square. To be truthful, it scares me to death. And keep in mind that the American Enterprise Institute is a conservative think tank. Oh, God. Anyway, what else? I don't know. It's just astonishing to me that the Ninth Circuit has said, well, you know, political advertising, it's against the First Amendment to ban political advertising on public television. In other words, there's no place you can escape, kind of like the telescreens in Orwell's Big Brother. There's no place you can escape from the lies and deception that is put out there by corporate America, by capitalist America, as they seek to have their candidates elected. Not your candidates, not my candidates, but their candidates. Kind of sad, isn't it? No, maybe not. Thanks for tuning in. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.